Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. For the next couple of programs, we want to focus ourselves and look at ourselves and examine our hearts and our lives. Are you a religious person? Now, many people are religious. There are some that are not, but most people have some kind of religion. But we're speaking primarily to religious people. And particularly, we're speaking to those who profess to be New Testament Christians. What does your religion cost you? Does it cost you anything to be a religious person? There's a fictitious story about a beggar. He sat at a rich man's gate, and the beggar was dependent upon this rich man for his living on what the rich man would give him. But one time the rich man asked him to run an errand for him, and the beggar responded, "I solicit alms, I do not run errands." Now this ungrateful and reprehensible attitude is the kind of attitude that it seems that many people must hold regarding their relationship with God. Oh, they want God's blessings. They want God's benefits. But they don't want to assume any duty or any responsibility to really do anything on the behalf of God. Now, it is true. We've seen this attitude in action so many times. Being a preacher, and you're at the church building a lot of times, and it's just now and then someone will come by the church building, and they're looking for some support. They're looking for food. They're looking for clothing. They're looking for some kind of handout. Well, there are those who are in need, and we want to be sympathetic and helpful to those that we can help. But many times there be those who only use the church for themselves. They don't really have any interest in the church. They don't have any interest in God. They don't care about His Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation, it never enters their mind. They're not concerned about doing anything, really, on the behalf and to the benefit of God in this world. Now, many people approach religion with the question, "What's in it for me?" Oh, friend, our society is plagued with this me generation, only thinking about self. And every now and then we hear a lot of religious appeal being made to people, and that appeal is based upon the expectation of some kind of material gain. You turn on your television, you listen to some of these charlatans who are filthy rich. People are led to believe that, well, you come to God, you come to Christ, you'll get a better house, you'll get a newer car. This is the way to have a larger salary. Your promotion will sure follow. You'll have finer clothes. That's the appeal that they make. Come to Christ and you receive all of these things. And some respond to these appeals, and they are only seeking their personal and material advantage, but without any concern for reciprocating for what God does. Now, while their interest is primarily material, the primary benefits that God gives to man are spiritual. God is concerned about their soul. God is concerned about their manner of life. God is concerned about their salvation. And their responsibilities that we must assume and duties that we're to discharge. And what about your religion? Do you pay any price for being religious? What does your religion cost you? Anything? Now we read in the Old Testament from 2 Samuel chapter 24. And Gad, he was a prophet of God, and Gad came that day to David and said unto him, "Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked, and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for a burnt offering, burnt sacrifice, the threshing instruments, and the instruments of oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give to the king. And Araunah said to the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto him, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God, which doth cost me nothing. Let me pause in the reading right here. Here's the theme that we want to emphasize in the lesson today and tomorrow. I will not offer unto the Lord that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built an altar there unto the Lord, and he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Now, what was the background of David needing to offer these sacrifices? Well, David had sinned. He had sinned in making a census. He had taken a census of the people to rely upon the power that the people might have, and that the land might be secure because of their power. He was not relying upon the Lord as he should. But David was punished for that. And for punishment, David was given 3 options. He could choose his own punishment. There could be 7 years of famine, or there could be 3 months of pestilence, of fleeing from his enemies, or there could be 3 days of pestilence. One would be 7 years, one would be 3 months, one would be 3 days. Well, David placed himself at the mercy of God, and he chose the 3-day pestilence. Now David was commanded to offer sacrifices to remove the pestilence. And Araunah offered unto David that which he needed for the sacrifices. But David refused to accept it. He said he would buy it. He contended, I will pay for what I use. I do not want to give God that which is no sacrifice to me. In other words, David is saying, I don't have a religion that costs me nothing. And David had a religion that cost him something. And David had a religion that he was willing to pay. Now we all know, do we not, that anything worthwhile involves cost. Cost in terms of money and energy and time, patience and understanding, selflessness, and there are other costs. We readily understand this principle in the secular things of life. For instance, to secure a secular education, now that's very costly. I am just amazed at the cost of a college education today in terms of money. But it even takes more than money. It takes a lot of self-discipline. It takes study. It takes attending to the classroom. It takes preparing the assignments. It takes time, and you have to burn the midnight oil. You have to stay with it. Stickability. Yes, there's a cost to be paid if you're going to secure an education. You know, marriage has its cost if it's going to be successful. A person must be cooperative and considerate. We have to be forbearing and forgiving. We have to put self a second, not first. We have to be willing to serve. We have to be ready to meet and discharge our responsibilities in marriage and to be a successful athlete. While we all know that one must pay the price, there must be training, there must be watching of the diet, there must be discipline, and the determination, a strong desire to win. There may be some degree of element in one's natural ability, but mostly to be a successful athlete, it takes practice, practice, practice. And that's certainly true, isn't it? For one to become an accomplished musician, there has to be dedicated hours of study and work, rehearsal and repetition. But friend, this same principle is true in so many other things. It takes effort, it takes work, it takes long hours and energies to be successful in business. But success is also costly in the religious realm. Acceptable service to God does demand something of us. Let's understand that. In Luke 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Paul wrote in Romans 12 and 1, "I beseech ye therefore by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And in Luke 14, verse 33, Jesus said, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Friend, these passages teach us that it costs to become a Christian, and it costs to remain to be a faithful Christian. And so I am asking you, what does your religion cost you? And first let me ask what it cost in terms of money. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love toward us, see that you abound in this grace also." Paul was talking about their giving when he was writing this way. He said, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." You see, friend, God wants us to give. He wants us to give of our monies. He wants us to give willingly, cheerfully, liberally, because we desire to give. We want to show our love to Him. We want to give as we have purposed and planned to give. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus was observing the giving of gifts into the treasury, and he noted the gift of a poor widow. She gave all of her living, and he commented that she had given more than all of those who were richer because they gave of their surplus. There be many members of the church that will spend more for the secular things of this world than they ever give to the cause of Jesus Christ. Friend, that's not the way it ought to be. The Lord wants us to be giving. Our religion should cost us our money. We need to give our money so the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is this not true? Well, we want to talk about some more things that cost us in being a faithful Christian tomorrow. We hope that you'll be listening. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.